We're in the middle of page ratio tests. Rebbe just finished talking about how a person has to serve Hashem with a lot of effort. If you give it all the effort that you can do and wear yourself out with that effort, then that we have the example of pedaling the bicycle that makes the electricity go. And then you're able to connect to that electricity. But if it's just shimush, just going through the motions, but you're not wearing yourself out, then it doesn't bring this revelation of godliness into yourself. And he gave some examples of that. Okay. So that's how he explains the pasuk Das Elokei Avicha Ve'evdehu. Know Hashem, your God, and serve Him. It's not enough with thinking about it, but it's got to be really hard work. When you do the hard work, you're able to accomplish it. You're able to reveal that godliness that is within inside of you. So that's what we were up to last week. And now we're on Reish Yates. U'miyata Novin Yoiser Es Inyan Hashira Shedibarnu L'El. And now we can begin to understand more so the concept of Shira that we've spoken about already. And understand a little bit of this aspect of prayer according to the words we've been saying. We find in the Zohar the following statement. Chavitin v'chol shor menachos. The various menachos that were brought in the Beis HaMikdash, the various meal offerings, were brought about three results. Lisara, it would arouse, number one, Ruach de Kutcha Birusa Dechana, a Ruach HaKodesh, a spirit of the divine presence with the longing of the Kohanim, Vishirasa de Levoi, and the singing, the song of the Levites, Utslos of Yisrael, and the prayer of the Jewish people. Now he says it in Hebrew. It's the purpose of them was Le'orer es Ruach HaKodesh, would arouse Ruach HaKodesh, the divine spirit, Biritzon HaKohanim, with the longing of the Kohanim, Vishiras HaLevim, the singing of the Levim, Utfilas Yisrael, and the prayer of the Jewish people. So that part of that service would do that. What's the point he's focusing on now? The continuum that is being described. Mashma Shloshim Adrega Sein. It would appear that there are three levels. Harishona hi Ruach HaKodesh. The top level is Ruach HaKodesh. That's like prophecy. Hashira, number two. Hitzura Mitzumtzemes Umukteneshel Ruach HaKodesh. It is a form that is more constrained and smaller than Ruach HaKodesh. That's Shira. Vatvila hitzura mitzumtzemes umuktenes shel hashira. And prayer is a lower level, a constricted level of shira. It's a continuum over here. You have higher level of Ruach HaKodesh, shira, tvila. Ukvar nidbarnu, we already said, shigam hashira min re'iyahi. We said that shira is a type of re'iyah. It's a type of vision. Meaning to say, it's a little bit of a prophecy. Shemispoel min nitzotz hod elyon ve'ores hakadusha shirasa nafsho, that the person is excited, influenced from that spark of the supernal splendor and the illumination of holiness, shenaf shirasa that his soul saw, umedabra, now he speaks it out, b'shiros v'sishpachos, with songs and praises. And the prophets indeed were able to, and the ones who had Ruach HaKodesh were able to sing out new songs. Because their vision was clear, very fully explained. And they knew how to say what they saw. That our vision is quite limited. And the arousal of our soul is very small. We're not able to explain it with a new song and to describe it and to glorify that which our souls see. What are we able to do? All we can do is Rak Bishiras Nivienu Anu, next page, Machnisim. We're only able to enter the previously existent songs of our prophets. And we're able to enclose that small spark that is within us. And do you think this little spark is always awake in us? No. Aren't there times when a person wants to reveal, to arouse and reveal the purity of his heart and his Jewish soul which is in him, and he can't? It's as if he is lying in a dark pit, Einor, with no light, vain lave, and no heart. So we try it, but we can't always do it. So this prayer that we are dealing with is really a very, very small, minor level of song, which is a small level of prophecy. And it's not so easy for us to do this. He continues. Shnei dvarim bagol. There's two concepts going on over here. Ki lefi divareinu eila. According to the words that you said, it's going to review a little bit now. Shabayarnu me'at es divrei kodesh l'apartes. So we explained a little bit of the holy words of the Sefer Apartes of Rav Moshe Cordovero. Remember that he said what? That the spiritual energy that comes from Hashem is really pure. It's one. It's just a simplistic one. But as it develops through the human being, is revealed through the human being, with our right side and our left side, it takes on our form. That becomes the form in which godliness manifests itself in the highest realms, which we talked about at length last week. So according to that, Yotzei lanu, it comes out. Shalom nafsho bilvad misno tzetzes bekerva ish Yisrael b'shashem mora misala. It's not only that the human soul alone is what sparks off inside the Jewish person at the time when he's aroused and he elevates himself. And it's not only the soul that's here, and not just his holy portion that evolves and comes from the nefesh, ruach, neshama, chay, and yechida, way beyond him, that's exclusively his. That's what his soul sees at this time when it gets on fire. But we said also, Rak Bechinas Merachok Hashem Nira Li. But this aspect, as the prophet Yirmiyahu says, from a distance Hashem appeared to me. That also is happening. Kevin Shalidei Nafsho Rucho Nishmasa Vechula Ha'aras Hashem Mizgale. Since through his levels of soul, Hashem's light is revealed. And they become the chariot and the vessels. That through them and in their form, spirituality is revealed. But more than that, so him is able through his different levels of soul, he can look at a distance. Through the illuminating splendor of holiness that reveals in general through him, you're able to see godliness, because that's what's being revealed in you. It's not just your neshama, but God's neshama is revealed in you. And not only tzaddikim from you long ago were able to do this and become this chariot of holiness through their levels of soul and their bodies. Elagam kol ish Yisrael lefi erko. But every Jew according to his level. Im shomer es kol gufo v'nafsho. If he's able to guard his body and soul from lowliness, at least, he's able to make himself a chariot from the good, distinct parts that are within his body and soul that he's working with, that he elevates and raises and makes holy. So every single Jew can be this type of Merkava, can be this type of chariot that's able to illuminate godliness in this world according to his level. V'toli b'kamas ha-merkava shalo. It depends on how much of a Merkava he has, which depends on what? Kama Torah lamad v'kiyem. How much Torah has he learned and has kept? V'eich kiyem, how he keeps it. Im b'shimush levad, is it only with shimush? Is it only with going through the motions? O bavoda, or is it with real service, where you're giving all your effort? V'kama avoda, and how much time of real service? Uchliyasa mikufa nashu rucha v'chul shiskala hod kedushas v'hem. And how much effort has he made on these utensils of the body and of the soul and of different levels that have revealed his holiness? It depends on a lot of factors. Because, ki im lo shamras sha'ar gufa v'kochasav shlo yiskalu, if he doesn't take care and watch the rest of his body and the rest of his forces, that they shouldn't become yiskalu, they shouldn't become disgusting. If you don't do that, oh, next side, oh, ach im shamarosam, or even if he guards them, but if he doesn't make efforts to produce a much higher level service, to bring out the portions of his soul through his service, but rather, what's he doing? But if all his actions are just going through the motions and they're with coldness, he's not able to have a vision and to not be excited with song. Very important point. A person who doesn't really give it all his efforts, he's not able to get excited with songs. If a person has made certain areas of his life disgusting, he's not going to get excited with songs. Singing is not going to excite the person who doesn't give it all his effort. He doesn't learn a lot of Torah. He doesn't, all the things the Rebbe's saying, the singing isn't going to do anything for you, even if you do sing. Right? So that's number one. That's point number one. You've got to really go through all the efforts necessary, do everything that's required. And when you do that, then you got a chance. But there's another point. Aval yesh gami shalomat, there's a person who taka learns. Ubavoda avada satar, and he really works hard on his Torah, can his kolos, we mentioned before. When we come makam kashal ala pamil urim aso is chelik amarkav alatso, it's very hard to arouse by himself that chariot which he has. He has a chariot, but he can't arouse it. Shal yoda hod al yoni iskal vispol of his life, that through that chariot, the supernal splendor will be revealed and he will get excited from it. So the Rebbe's just been doing a lot of repeating till now, so we're doing it quickly. But the Rebbe is saying, we got this opportunity to bring out mamish, Hashem's revelation from the highest worlds can be brought out, because our right is his right and our left is his left. We're to mamish bring out on our level this aspect of godliness. It's an unbelievable thing that from far away I can see it, I can bring it here. But it depends if we've used the utensils, if we've developed a Merkava, if we've developed a chariot through the Torah that we learn and the fulfillment of the Torah and the effort, the supreme effort that we make, all these things, and we don't pollute ourselves and give ourselves all these kinds of problems, right? Then that could happen. But if you don't, for sure not. And even if you did all that, you still got to arouse yourself to bring it out. And sometimes a person just can't arouse himself. See, that's what we were talking about yesterday on Sunday in the Shalom Bayis class, where the Rebbe was over there, the Slonim Rebbe was talking about, especially we're learning both from together, every Sunday, it's always something's touching on the other thing. Where the Slonim Rebbe said, how are you going to know, he talks about, doing... He says, how are you going to know what brings you closer to Hashem and serves Hashem and what doesn't bring you closer? He says, it's not very hard. All you need is to listen to your neshama. Your neshama is going to tell you. Your neshama is going to tell you. Neshama will always tell you the right thing. He says, but however, it has to be that you didn't damage your neshama. So what was the logic behind this? So this is the logic behind this concept. Because if a person has not tainted his neshama, if the person has, and then the Rebbe continued and said, but you gotta, and then the Rebbe said, there's nothing you can't do. If you give it the right effort, there's nothing you can't do. So what the Rebbe is saying, you want to know what the Ratzon of Hashem is? You want to know what Hashem's will is? You want to know what's going to bring you closer to Hashem? You want to know what's going to bring you further away from Hashem? What is it that you really want to know? You want to know the Ratzon Hashem. Isn't that what you want to know? Right? The Rebbe is saying, how do I know if this is going to bring me closer to Hashem? How am I going to know it's going to bring? What's he really asking? How do you know what the Ratzon Hashem is? How do I know what God wants up there? So the answer is, your neshama will tell you. What do you mean your neshama is going to tell you? Your neshama just magically says it? But the answer is, because your neshama is doing what? Meirachak Hashem nearly. From far away, Hashem appears to me. Your neshama is able to bring out exactly what the Ratzon Hashem is within yourself. But that's if you haven't damaged your neshama. If you haven't damaged the Merkava. And you follow what the instructions are to being the proper Jew that you're supposed to be and give it all your effort, then it's very easy to know what Hashem wants, because that's what's inside your neshama, is what Hashem wants. So that's the logic of that, but it's hard sometimes to bring that out. So now the Rebbe continues with an example. The Gamba Zeh, Aide Mashal Ba'adam, and this again will give an example of the human being. Nuchal Lahavin Ma'at Esadavar, we can understand this a little bit. Yesh Adam Chalosh. We can have a person who's very weak. She'ein lo koach. He doesn't have a lot of strength. He doesn't work out at the club. He's mamish a weakling. Ubishvil zeh lo yuchal lisabek imzulasa. Therefore, he can't wrestle with anybody else. He couldn't fight. He's a weakling. Yesh ish gibor b'koach. And then you have on the other hand a person who's very strong. Elisha ato. But now at this time, his courage and his spirit of being a warrior are weak inside of him. Lo miskraksim, he's not focusing. Lo miskabrim, they're not strengthening. Kilu misnamnem hu ba'osu shom misrashal. It's as if he's daydreaming at this time and he's slacking off. He's not in the mood. He's not in the mood to wrestle today. He's not in the mood. And if he wants to wrestle, as muchrachu, he has to do the following. He has to strengthen himself to the place where he was before. And in Yiddish, is a great word. Unstrengen. It's the unstrengen. He's gotta give it that oomph. Lorer, to arouse. To strengthen himself and to reveal that power which is inside of him with a spirit of gvura, with a spirit of might. Right? And that's what the Baal Shem Tov, that's the whole point of the Torah of the Baal Shem Tov. The whole point of the Torah of the Baal Shem Tov, he wasn't mechadish that much. He didn't really say anything that was new, but the main thing that the Baal Shem Tov wanted to do was to wake up the Jew. And to have the Jew find his kokos that lie within himself. That was the whole thing, the Baal Shem Tov. To show us what's inside of us. To show us what we're made out of and how to bring it out. That was the main Torah of the Baal Shem Tov. And then you have people who you've got it. You just not in the mood. Not in the mood today. Right? Cain, so that's what you have. That's what you have normally with fighters. Either the guy doesn't have the koyach. He can't do it at all. He's a weakling. Or a guy's got it, but he's got to really... I get psyched up. Okay. We'll see. It's coming. Cain gam be'inyan hisrovimus hanefesh. So too it is with elevating our souls. Mi shein ovid b'torah mitzvahs. If a person doesn't work hard in Torah mitzvahs, v'ein oisim erkava mi'atzma, he doesn't turn himself into a chariot. Aflo b'chelik menu, not even a little bit of him. So, lo yigala b'chlal or elyon. He's never going to reveal any light. Chalish is a weakling. V'yefshlo l'aliyas ha'nefesh yistaklas ha'shirat. It's not possible for him to elevate his soul. He can never have any vision of song. He's not in the ball game. He's nothing. And sometimes he gets aroused. So lo yepatuach shein zerach dimyon shav vegeirui haatzabim bilvod. You can't be so sure that maybe all this is a false vision, and it's an overstimulation of the nervous system. Right? He could feel some stimulation, but it's through non-spiritual things. You know, he thinks he's getting high. You know, let's say he lost his job. All of a sudden he gets emotional. You know? So he's just nervous. That's all it is. He's worried. You know? And there's nothing really there. You know, person who doesn't really have anything to himself. He doesn't learn as anything. You know, he goes to a Carl Bach concert. He gets all excited. There's nothing really there. Not taking away from Carl Bach, Chas v'Shalom. Not taking anything away. But there's nothing really there. He's hallucinating spirituality. He thinks he's feeling something he never felt before, but it ain't the real thing. Look what he calls it. V'raketzef al pnei ha'mayim. It's like foam on top of the water. You know, when the waves come crashing in and it builds up a foam? Or even foam when you're pouring yourself a glass of soda. So it looks like, wow, it's big. You have a beer, pour yourself a beer. There's foam all the way to the top, right? Right? But what happens, you know, what happens to the foam after a few seconds? There's nothing left. So Kali Slavuso, all that excitement, Shad Mehera Toface, it right away, it turns into a nothing. Right? But now there's a problem with that. It's a real problem when you get a person who doesn't have anything in the kishkas, gets excited, it's a bit dangerous. You know why? Many times after, immediately after a person gets excited with a false excitement, he can get excited over something that's very low, God forbid. He could get all excited at a Carl Bach concert and walk out with his girlfriend and have a good time with her because he got excited. You can get excited. You get excited with certain things. But you really don't have the kalim, the tools to channel that excitement in the right direction. So you walk out, you're talk excited. But the only way you know how to express excitement is in the wrong ways. So you got to be careful. People who don't have a Merkava, you got to be really careful that the environment is not going to be conducive for something that may not turn out to be such a good thing. Because Taka, you know, you do experience something. There is a certain excitement, but it's not an excitement that's bringing out your neshama. It's bringing out other areas. Remember, you've got to develop those higher levels. Remember, we talked way back. In the beginning of the entries over here, in the beginning of the essays, you know, yeah, you know, you're connecting. Maybe your nefesh is doing something. It's doing something, but it's got nothing to connect with. Your nefesh and ruach, they're trying to come up to the neshama level, and there's nothing there. There's not a drop of Torah in there at all. So there's nothing to connect with. There's no real merkava. It's like, you know, you're pouring gasoline into a car with no engine. Right? But you got a match. You toss a match in the tank. You know, that's what you got. Now, if you had Torah, mitzvahs, okay, there's some neshama over here. We have what to talk about. We're connecting to that. Something's going to happen. But if there's nothing there, then it could get awfully dangerous. It could get awfully dangerous. And now you connect with whatever the excitement will be directed towards. Which is something that's... So either you think you had a spiritual experience and you didn't. Or you experience it and you express it in the most disgusting ways. And that's not unusual. It's not unusual to find that. You can be awfully careful with these Shabbatons for kids. You have to have a lot of chaperoning at those things. Because, you know, it could be, if you're not careful, the worst thing's going to happen from it. You get so excited and they don't know where to channel that excitement. They channel in the ways that they shouldn't channel them. I'm not chassidim saying anything against any of these things. You got to do something. You got to get them a little excited about something, and maybe then we can excite them to get them into learning. Yes, so you did get excited about something, but you got to be careful how these things are challenged. Very, very tricky. Tricky thing. So that's on the one hand. Let me just finish the paragraph, then I'll take questions. So on the one hand, you know, you got somebody who really has nothing in the tank. There's nothing to talk about. And there's for others, it could be a great opportunity. There's something going on, right? But it's, you can't be sure it's the real thing. But now we got another thing. But let's talk about the guy who really did develop and make himself into a Merkava. But a lot of times he's like the lazy, the weak warrior. Next page. That the soul and the portion of this chariot that he made, Nelmo, it's hidden from him. And it's dozing off inside of him. So what do you got to do then? He has to put together the different aspects of soul that he has made corrections to in his past service until now. He's got to collect it all up. Especially in this last time. As he says, you got to strengthen yourself and arouse yourself and motivate yourself and push yourself. Until he's able to be aroused and to get on fire and to see the neshama that he has developed and to be unified with that supernal light according to the situation that he is in right now. So sometimes you got the merkava, but you got to really get it going. Okay, how are you going to get it going? That's what the next paragraph is going to tell us. That's what's going to happen. And this whole idea, you know, that we're all so confused. We're not sure, you know, how to do this and what direction to focus our energies. It's a struggle. It's a struggle all the time. Even we work hard. And now you want to get aroused, and something's just not happening. You got to push yourself. What's going to be that thing that's going to motivate yourself to push you? That we're going to see in the next paragraph. Yeah, question?
Yes, we said at the beginning that when you start singing, and you start the Da'avut, you start boosting yourself into this spirit and connecting. And now I understand that this feeling that you're feeling, if you don't have something before, so what comes first? I mean, I understand from the beginning you start singing and jumping, and then you come to connect. Now I understand that you have to connect and then sing. So
that's right.
So it's confusing.
It's not confusing when we were saying that singing connects you, but it's got to have something to connect you to. There's got to be something to... What?
We said before that it is a tool to connect you.
It's a tool to connect something that is previously capable of making a connection with. But if you don't have anything to connect with, it's not going to work. As I gave the example, you're pouring gasoline in a car, but there's no engine in the car. All right? No spark plug. What? Where do you get the engine from? From learning Torah. From doing mitzvahs. Doing the hard work.
But you can't learn Torah if you don't feel the connection. So what comes first?
Yes, okay, so you can have, you're not gonna feel the connection. You're gonna think you feel the connection. But you know, you can get excited to be aroused, and it'll arouse you to do something, but you're not gonna have a revelation of Hashem. These things don't happen so easily, you know. Sometimes, unless God gives you a freebie from time to time, but it generally doesn't come. It doesn't come by itself. You're feeling things, but that's not the real Iskalas Hashem. It's not the real Yiskah Hashem. It's an excitement that makes you feel something. Maybe you're going to think a little more. And then I think maybe I should do more. And then you do more. And then you learn. And then you start to build a Merkava. And then the next time you sing, it's going to be different. Okay? But you're trying to get excited. Okay, excitement is good. You got to get some excitement. It'll motivate you to want to do something. But if it doesn't motivate you to do something, then it's just this foam that just comes up. But Hiskalas Hashem isn't coming that often.
Just to make it picture,
you need gifts. Yeah, you need gifts.
For example, on Simchat Torah, there is a lot of secular people who doesn't feel the connection with God.
That's
when there is the whole atmosphere around them.
They start feeling, but it's not a connection to God that they're feeling. It's just excitement. And a good feeling. And a nice feeling. But it's not a Kodesh Baruch Hu's feeling. We're not saying that's bad. I'm not saying that's bad. But, you know, the same guy, Sam Chusara, you know, he starts swearing at people. If they didn't dance the right way. And then they drink too much, and then some ugly things start happening. You know, how come you find in shuls on Simple Star, you know, they're dancing and then they're fighting with each other? Right, they're fighting with each other. Some shuls get the biggest machlokes on Simple Star. You know, they drink and dance a little, and then the true colors come out, and it's not very pretty. I'm not saying we shouldn't take a secular person and have them dance on Simple Star. Because you want to hope to spark something, but you're not really sparking the Ha'aras Hashem. That's not really coming. That's not really coming because there's nothing in the tank. There's nothing really in the tank. This, to say I really had a godly experience, a real God, people having pseudo-godly experiences. I won't deny that they think they're having a God. They're experiencing something they didn't experience. But it isn't yet a Kodesh Baruch Hu. It isn't. What? There's something awakening, but it's not the real thing, and they don't know how to handle it. They don't understand what it is, and they're not being revealed anything. It's an uneasy feeling. So hopefully, the uneasy feeling will say, you know, I need more in life. Okay, I need more in life. You know that you take that same person, and I can now teach him kfira. I can take him to the Kabbalah Center and teach him all kinds of kfira. And he'll be happy with that. You know, I can introduce him to a pretty girl, and that could give him something too. I got more in life now. I got a pretty girl they didn't have before.
Together, the same thing.
What?
It's paradox. Once he is excited in Simchat Torah, he can't go and...
Sure you can. Sure you can, because you're not excited for necessarily the right thing. You're just excited. You're excited, and it's a feeling you haven't felt before. And you know, and then go meet a nice, pretty girl, and that feeling you haven't felt before gets directed to her. You know, you got to be careful with how you do that, how you program these things. You know, you don't make big Shabbatons for secular people without good follow up afterwards. You know, you have these great seminars, and wow, you know, Arachi makes a big seminar. Wow, but it's unbelievable, right? And then there's no follow up. The person's going to be more depressed after a couple of weeks because he saw there was nothing really there. There was nothing there. He got excited, got aroused, but he didn't really connect to anything. He has nothing to make it happen. And then, you know, they get depressed because, ugh, I'm such a lousy Jew and I really don't feel anything. So unless you can then get him right into some Torah, then to channel it. But if you don't channel it, then sometimes it can get worse. Person gets depressed because there's really nothing there. Got all this gas pouring in, and then all you need is to light a match, and oh, you got problems. Let him meet somebody he doesn't like, and he's gonna get into a big fight or whatever. Spark a match, you explode. So you got to be careful. You got to be careful how this happens. Yeah.
What about like a Pesach and less way Shabbos?
Okay, so Pesach. So same thing with Pesach. You know, and Shabbos, these are gifts. We've said many times, they're itaruta de la'ela, they're gifts from above. But if there's nothing in the tank, you know, not much is going to happen. That's why you got to go through the Seder kehalacha, and you got to come to the Seder, you got to prepare for the Seder, you got to go through the Haggadah, and you got to be looking for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I want to get that iskalos from Hashem, and you've made some effort, and then you can get it, You come to the Seder, you just want to have dinner, nothing's gonna happen. Okay, so the kid says to Manistana, that's cute. I'll get this warm, mushy feeling inside me. You know, but there's nothing there. Right? You're not gonna get, the Hizgalus Hashem is for people like us. We're trying. It's just not coming. We're not concentrating on our davening. It's just not coming, and we wish it would come, and we're trying. But we're not enough of a Merkava. So then on Pesach night, Hashem gives you a free gift. He says, okay, I'm going to give you a real feeling. A real thing. You don't deserve this feeling either. We haven't worked hard enough for this to deserve this feeling. But we made such an effort. Hashem says, okay, I'm going to give you epis something. And something real. But it's going to be very fleeting. Even that's going to be very fleeting. And you're going to lose it very quickly again. But at least you had something real. But now, and then you gotta move right into Sphira. Gotta move right into developing the 49 Midos. And learn. And then come Shavuos, then you could really have a real Hizkalus Hashem. The real thing. That's the whole avodah between Pesach and Shavuos. What? You don't feel it. So I'm saying you get a little bit of an arousal. So I'm saying when you have these Shabbatons and people get a little bit of arousal, right away you gotta get them. You gotta call them the next day. You wait 5 days, it's too late. The next day, so what do you think? Oh, it was amazing. It was this. Would you like to know more? Yes. Start them on some real Torah. Just keep them going. Get them to some real mitzvahs. Okay, now we're trying to build a Merkava. And then, later, a real Hizkalus can happen to the person. But we're really playing on a pseudo-spiritual feeling. That's what we're really working with over here. And we've got to take advantage of that feeling. Right? So on Pesach, where it's a real feeling, how many people really feel something? If you really worked hard to prepare for Pesach, if it's something you're going to feel. The Rebbe talked about it. How to feel on Pesach. Do we really feel that way? How many of us understand that? So that's the issue over here. And it's hard for us. It's hard because it's hard for us to be focused. It's so hard for us to focus. You know, this is the whole idea, you know, the fact that there's so much trouble in Iraq. You know, it's not Stam Iraq, you know, and not another place. Cause what is Iraq? Iraq is Bavel. It's Bavel, right? Why was the place of the world called Bavel? Why was it called Bavel? From the word Bilbul. Confusion. That's where the Tower of Babel was built, and that's where the confusion, the 70 languages came. Which means it's the inability to be focused. Right? And that's really what was Bavel's threat to us was Avodah Zarah. Of the four exiles. Bavel's threat was Avodah Zarah. What's Avodah Zarah? Not being able to focus on one Hashem. It's not having the focus. Right? So, you know, so it's not unusual, it's not surprising that what do they do to their hostages in Bavel? To cut their heads off. It's not stam, right? The person doesn't have the head to focus, right? Cut off with their head because there's nothing to focus, right? And that's the klipa of Bavel, you know, the Migdal Bavel, right? So now what's the tikkun for it? What's the correction for it? Is to learn Talmud Bavli. The Babylonian Talmud. Not the Jerusalem Talmud, the Babylonian Talmud. Because when you gotta learn Talmud, it's gotta be with concentration. You learn Talmud Bavli. Badafka, Talmud Bavli was in Bavel. You got to learn with concentration. You can go try to learn a piece of Gemara without concentrating. You lose concentration for 1 second, you're out of the game. You listen to class for 30 seconds, for 10 seconds, you didn't listen, you missed a line. You're finished. Every line connects another line. When you learn Gemara, again, here's the point. It's not just people say, oh, I want to learn things that are relevant. It's not interesting. I want to learn about an ox goring another ox. But what you're doing is you're focusing and concentrating on Hashem's wisdom. And when you're focusing and concentrating on Hashem's wisdom, that keeps you the kind of focus that will not let you lose focus that Bubble wants you to lose your focus on. Right? That's the whole thing that's happening. That's, if you're looking at America, it's such a tragedy what's going on over there. Canada's nothing to talk about. We didn't even come to the plate. You know, America is like the Gibor, is like the Gibor, but he's weakening. Canada's not even a Gibor. Canada's mamish nothing. They're not even a Gibor. They can't do nothing. Right? They pseudo want to think they're a Gibor. It's mamish gornish. They can't even come to the plate. The United States, they just come to the plate. They mamish do something. But what happens after a couple of years? You get tired. Get tired. Is this another Vietnam? Should we really be there? Right? You know, and they need to get strengthened. They need to get strengthened. But, you know, but as I said in the drush a couple of years ago in Yom Kippur, but they're doing the right thing. You gotta fight evil. You gotta fight evil. You gotta stay focused. Right? When 9/11 happened, everybody, woo! Woo! This is serious stuff. They're a bunch of mishugoyim. Right? Right? That day, oh, we're gonna go to war. They were focused. Right now it's been 3 years, four years.
9/11.
Four and a half years.
2001.
Right? Four and a half.
Coming up to 5 years this September.
Four and a half years already. You begin to lose the focus. Yeah, thinking about, you know, the environment, you're thinking about your parnasa and the gas prices and this and that. Everything but the issue. The issue is these guys still want to come back and destroy you. And Bush is trying to keep them focused on that. I don't know how L'shem Shemayim is, but that's what his drushes are trying to tell them. Don't forget, you know, let them have tranquility. They'll build up their forces. They hate what we represent. Right? They hate what we represent, and they will eventually get us in a way that we'll never be able to recover from. And people don't want to fight. They want to fight. So that's out of whole. So now why do you think this is all happening? Everything happens only because of Klal Yisrael. It's because Klal Yisrael isn't focused. If we were focused, right? But we're not focused. How many of us can put in a hard day's work in the Gemara? A hard day's work in Avodas Hashem. We don't have that kind of focus, right? So we got to strengthen ourselves. That's where the real issue is. If Bubble is strong, it's because we aren't focused. You know, we aren't focused on what a shul is. You know, you look at most shuls in the world. What are shuls? A shul is a place where you write letters to your congressman. Right? A shul is a place where we tell people to go to rallies. A shul is a place where we have children's programs. Right? A shul is a place where we do everything but daven. Everything but daven. Right? Why do we have to have Sefer Torahs and hundreds of Sidurim when people just get together for an hour or two to schmooze and have Kiddush? A shul is a social club. Right? But what's the focus? Right? The focus is a shul is a place to bring Hashem's reality out. When does that happen? Go through shul, standard Balabatish shuls throughout North America. Is that ever on the board's agenda? The board's agenda is Kiddush Shem Shemayim. How are we going to have better davening? How are we going to learn more Torah? Right? I would suggest most shul boards, that's not on the top of their agenda. Everything but that. So we're not focused. So Klal Yisrael isn't focused. Right? In schools, we're not focused. We're not focused to bring out the neshama of the kids. We're just focused to bury them with work, make sure they get into good universities. So we don't have any focus. So of course, so Bubble goes through the whole world. There's no focus in the whole world. So we've got people who don't have the kalim to even connect Hashem. with those with the kelim, but even with the kelim, we don't have the focus. We can't stay pushing. So how are we going to push? How are we going to do this? So that's going to lead us to tomorrow. That's where tefillah and shira come into play. So Mirtz Hashem, tomorrow we'll continue with that aspect.